comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. I'm here because it matters, and so do you. On my website is a link. Now, those of you who are bright, alert, sharp individuals, and you have subscribed to the K-Files e-zine because you did not want to be a mushroom, you know about this link. For those of you who are new, and so you didn't know anything about the K-Files e-zine, you don't know about this. For those of you who decided you just didn't want to know because you don't want to take our free weekly newsletter, then you didn't know as well. But this link is to something free for you to download. It is it's a ringtone, and it's the theme song for our show. Now, this was suggested by one of our members that I look into doing this, so I looked into it, found out how you do it, and did it. It's available. It's in MP3 format. Now, I cannot instruct you on how you install that in your phone. I don't even use a cell phone, although I've got several of them laying around. None of them are hooked up. I don't use them. Used to, but I don't now. Now, whoever makes your cell phone has instructions about how to install ringtones. Follow those instructions and download that free ringtone. It is the theme song with which we open the show each night. Don't forget, Jose Escamilla will be with us on November 21st. He's going to be with us in a live video chat, and you need to be a member in order to take part in that. But, you know, that costs less than a cup of coffee. I did a little research on it. Found out that the average price of a cup of coffee across the United States of America, anyway, is $1.38. How many cups of coffee do you drink a day? That's even if you make the coffee yourself. No, I think if you make the coffee yourself, it's about the cost is about 98 cents. But if you buy a cup, the average price across the country, $1.38. It's 23 cents per day to be a member at the Kevin Smith Show. So you see, if you were to skip one cup of coffee, that would pay for, just skip one cup a day, that'll pay for 6 days in our members area. And you'll be healthier anyway. Now, you're probably saying, look, Smith, I know you're addicted to coffee. And, you know, who are you to tell me that I'll be healthier? I like coffee. I drink a lot of coffee. I also drink a lot of tea. Tonight, it's tea. Lots of times during the show, what you see me drinking is tea. And a good cup of tea is hard to beat. But you skip one cup of either one per day, and you can more than pay for the members area. And you get lots of goodies as well. I'll be back with Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean. This is not his first time to be with us. He's been with us several times. It's been my pleasure to have met him in person and to have talked with him in person. And I'll tell you, in person, he is just as impressive. Maybe I would have to say much more impressive. But what you see is what you get, and what you hear is what you get. And that's a very rare but very admirable commodity in the world in which we live. Robert Dean, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Kevin, thank you for inviting me.
Robert, you... First of all, let me say thank you for your service. I just, anybody that has served in our armed forces has really done something special. And regardless of what job they do in the armed forces, they're really doing something special for the country, and I appreciate your service. Now, you recently spoke at the ExoPolitics conference in Spain. Wasn't all that long ago, just a few weeks ago.
It was the end of July, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What you had to say at that conference really set some boats to rocking, especially those photographs that you shared with people of alien spacecraft of enormous size, photographs shot by none other than NASA. And I've gotten lots of email about that. I went over to YouTube and found some video clips of your talk at the conference, and I have to say it was quite impressive. Robert...
Kevin, I've been speaking bluntly and loudly for a number of years, and I'm to a point, really, that I'm getting older, and I don't have the patience I used to have. I'm getting really ticked off, frankly, that the government not only has been lying to the people for so damn long, but the lies are getting more pronounced, and they're continuing. God damn it. I mean, excuse me. I'm sorry for any ladies that are listening, but...
Keep in mind, we're also on AM, FM stations as well, so we have to keep the FCC happy.
Type, Kevin. I was a grunt in Korea in 1951. I led combat troops in Korea in 51, and I was in Southeast Asia and Vietnam in 1970. So I'm an old soldier, and I have a tendency from time to time to, use the old-time vernacular, and I have to apologize for any ladies that might be listening. But I'm really ticked off about the fact that the government has been lying for so many years, and they literally have institutionalized lying in our government. And that really ticks me off, and I have no patience for it. I speak out openly, bluntly, and as loudly as I can wherever I'm invited to bring to people's attention not what I consider to be the greatest story in human history. And it literally is, Kevin, the greatest story of human history. It's got to be told. It's going to come out eventually. They can't sit on top of this damn thing forever. But I have no patience anymore, not only for the government, but I'm losing my patience, Kevin, with the American people for not waking up and paying attention. And good Lord, they seem to be half asleep, you know?
Well, you know, they almost seem as if they've been anesthetized.
Well, at a recent presentation I made, I used the analogy that they seem to have an attention deficit disorder. And that's a common problem with a lot of kids in school today, where their attention span is about 2 or 3 minutes at the very most, if that. And I think the masses of American people have been lulled into this kind of a situation for so damn many years. You know, remember the old Romans from ancient history? They kept the control of the masses by what they called bread and games.
Yeah.
Keep, keep them entertained and keep them fed, and you can get away with anything. And our government, I believe, has been following that policy now for the last 30, 40 years. And I'm angry not only for their lying, but I'm angry for the people who are not paying attention. And so I speak out whenever I get a chance, Kevin, to talk about this story and the fact that we're not alone. We've never been alone. And we literally have had an intimate interrelationship with advanced extraterrestrial intelligence from the beginning of our history. And that really, you know, I suppose the last gasp that I make on this planet, the last breath that I breathe, will be raising hell about this story and why it hasn't been told.
All right. Now, let's take these photographs up for discussion just a moment. You showed a quite impressive series of photographs, but one in particular that depicts, or it shows, an enormous craft, several miles in length. Now, this is a photograph that's taken by NASA. And if
those were taken by Apollo 13, Kevin.
Okay, Apollo 13. Now, this is a craft that is in the vicinity of the moon. And
apparently, from what the NASA guys have said, unofficially, I'm talking about the astronauts themselves, who have opened their mouth privately and unofficially, you know, at dinners and parties and conversations with old friends and such.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the astronauts have been very outspoken about the fact that they were followed all the way. Every mission Apollo made out there was monitored and followed by advanced intelligence. And in Apollo 13, they took a series of photographs. I got two pictures from the Japanese Space Agency, of all places, that Apollo 13 took. And that one object that you remark about, that the big mother that comes into the view, was 5 miles long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, my kid retired here just last November after 30 years in the Navy. He retired as a full captain in the Navy, and he spent most of those years on aircraft carriers. And for a number of times over the years, I was able to join him on a couple of those Nimitz-class carriers, those gigantic nuclear-powered carriers. And I was overwhelmed and deeply impressed by those carriers, the Nimitz-class nuclear-powered carriers. Kevin, they're over 1,000 feet long, and they have a complement of 5,000 men on those carriers.
It's a town.
There's, you know, one of our aircraft carriers has a complement of 5,000 men on a 1,000-foot-long aircraft carrier. Imagine what an alien craft in space over 5 miles long. Good God, what kind of a crew complement would they have?
Well, if you go five times the size of the aircraft carrier, you would be almost to a mile long, and five times the population would be 25,000, and then multiply that times five, and you have, 120,000? 125,000?
Well, it's impressive, but you know, some of our remote viewers, Kevin, and I've been doing a bit of it myself in the last 5 years. Some of our more capable and accomplished remote viewers have projected their consciousness out there into alien craft, and apparently they don't have that many people aboard because everything is so so overwhelmingly automatic. You know, the technology of these guys, Kevin, their technology is 10,000 years beyond our own, and that may be a modest statement. So most of their things, most of their craft are automated, And those big ships, they probably don't have really that many crew aboard. They don't need them because everything is automatic. Everything's automated. But it's still impressive, Kevin, when you consider a ship that long.
All right, now there's an interesting story, though, about this photograph. NASA doesn't have the photograph, or they say they don't, right?
Well, the NASA will not admit now that those photographs exist.
Mm-hmm.
But what NASA had forgotten, and, you know, being primarily administrators and politicians, damn it, they made a contract with the Japanese Space Agency back at the beginning of the Apollo program. And the Japanese signed a contract with NASA to buy a copy, a negative, of every photograph NASA took. And in their eagerness in those early glory days, as some of the astronauts call them, NASA signed this contract with Japan to provide negatives of all of the photographs that the entire Apollo program took. And they sent them off to Japan. And apparently NASA somewhere along the way forgot that the Japanese Space Agency has, they own these copies of these negatives because they bought them from NASA back in the 60s. Well, I was speaking at a conference in Tokyo a number of years ago. I had been invited by a world-famous Japanese researcher by the name of Junichi Yaoi. And Junichi Yaoi had invited me and Lee and Britt Elders to speak at a conference in Tokyo. And while I was over there, I talked to a member of the Japanese Space Agency, and they were kind enough to give me a couple of shots of these pictures that taken by Apollo 13. And those are the ones I've been showing to people and trying to get people's attention and trying to wake people wake up, for God's sake, and realize that, you know, we have got incredibly advanced intelligences. Not only all around our solar system, Kevin, but hell, they're here on our planet. They're in our midst, and that is, to me, a story that's got to be told.
Do you think, because look, we've been hearing these stories about bases on the moon and on Mars. We've been hearing those now for a number of years. What's your take on it?
Well,
do we have bases on the moon?
About it, Kevin. We've had photographs for years taken by astronomers, by observatories all over the planet. They've got photographs of ongoing activities on the moon, and they've had those photographs for years. Now, some of our better competent remote viewers, people like Ingo Swann and Joe McMonigle, two people that I know and respect and tremendously admire, have remote viewed the moon and said, good Lord, they're all over the damn place up there. There are facilities, there are developed activities, there are ongoing activities going on up in the moon. And they've been going on for years. They have pictures of it. And the remote viewers say that there are massive facilities, not only on the backside, but on the front as well. And we've got photographs, and we have got qualified remote viewers that are verifying this. And apparently the Department of Defense, in its famous Clementine mission some years back, you may have read about it.
Yes.
It wasn't NASA. It was DOD. The Department of Defense sent a Clementine mission to the moon, and for about, you know, several weeks, they photographed that moon with detail. I mean, they were in orbit around the moon, and they photographed literally every damn square foot of the moon. Now, the Clementine mission has only released one or two, maybe a half a dozen photographs. But they photographed everything on the damn moon, on the top, the bottom, backside, front side, everywhere. And we've got photographs of all of those activities up there. And, Kevin, those activities are not ours. They belong to the other guys.
If I'm not mistaken, they classified most of those photographs, didn't they, to keep us from seeing them?
Oh, hell yes. Our government classifies damn near everything, Kevin. hell, they go to the bathroom and they'll put a security classification on it, for God's sake. I spent almost 30 years in the Army. I spent another 14 years working with FEMA. And, Kevin, I've seen it from the inside. These guys will classify anything. They'll make a dumb, stupid mistake, and they'll put a secret classification on it to cover their rear end, as it were. So they've gotten out of control with classification. They'll classify everything.
Have you ever seen any of...
The number of classified documents in our government is up in beyond millions. It's in probably billions by now. And I refer you and your listeners to a good friend of mine, a young man who's a historian and a writer by the name of Richard Dolan. And Rich Dolan has written a couple of dynamite books, Kevin, that I strongly recommend your listeners to look at, pick up a copy, and read. And Rich Dolan's books are titled UFOs and the National Security State. And what's his point is that we have really become a national security state in this country, Kevin, and that's heartbreaking.
It is. It is indeed. I've had Richard Dolan on the show, and as a matter of fact, I'm awaiting a response from him. I've invited him to be back with us, and I hope he'll do it. He's quite an interesting individual, and his books just have tremendous information in them. You're right about that. Have you ever seen any of these classified?
He just published the second volume of, I think, what he would call a trilogy. Mm-hmm. He's got a third volume underway, but volume two is now out. And I recommend that your viewer or listeners read those books, because Rich has done his homework, and they're well done. But his point about us being a national security state, that's the whole crux of it, Kevin.
All right, we have to step away for a break, and we will be back in just a moment. And when we come back, I want to talk about those Clementine photos for just a moment. All right, folks, don't go away. You're listening to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening is Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean. When we went to break, Robert, I said I want to talk about those Clementine photos for just a moment. Have you ever been able to see any of these photographs that have been kept away from us, these Clementine photographs?
I've seen a couple, but those were the ones they released, Kevin. And, they didn't show a hell of a lot other than craters and the rills and some of the mountains and such. Mm-hmm. But they didn't show any of the sensitive information. But the reports that we've had from people who were inside and involved is that they took literally hundreds of thousands of photographs. The evidence apparently is that they photographed practically every square foot of the surface of the moon. Because they knew damn well going in that there was an enormous amount of activity going on up there. And they wanted, photographic coverage of everything. But they declared everything so sensitive that they're not only secret or top secret, they're above top secret. Because the policy in our government, Kevin, for many years has been that the average person out there simply is not prepared to deal with the reality of an extraterrestrial presence on our moon, in our solar system, and on our planet itself. And that has been national policy since 1961, when the Brookings Report was published and delivered to Congress.
Well, I tell you what, I think there could be some upsetting moments for some people, but I think people are far more capable of dealing with that information than with the daily assault to and insult to their intelligence that they get out of Washington, D.C.
They don't mind insulting the intelligence of the American people.
No, they don't.
Basically, those elite bastards back there don't think the average American is intelligent enough to deal with this kind of thing.
How extensive is our contact with extraterrestrials? To what level does it go?
Oh, my God. In the last 10 years, Kevin, I've really been involved in, you know, I've had some good contacts. I've developed some contacts with people on the inside. While I was still on active duty, when I was still working for FEMA, I had developed contacts and relationships with people in all the services, including some of the intelligence agencies. And I've been getting information provided to me, honest, you know, bits and pieces of information from reputable and credible people for a number of years. And our involvement with these extraterrestrials, and that, Kevin, I must tell you that even that is not an appropriate term. Alien is not appropriate. Extraterrestrial is essentially not appropriate. And little green men gets me so.
Yep, I understand.
We've had a relationship with several of these advanced intelligences since at least 1954. Now, when I retired in 1976, for God's sake, we knew of four different groups that were coming fairly regularly, who were here, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a close relationship with two different groups. And we had that relationship since 1954 and 1960.
What two groups are those?
We had a close relationship, and Kevin, we've got the term that I tend to use. I refer to them as the others, because some of them have been on this planet longer than we have, for God's sake. So you really can't call them extraterrestrial. Some of them have been coming and going for a while, and they're multidimensional. They literally come through portals from other dimensions. Now, you try to lay that on the average American out there and try to explain to him what the hell that means, and you've got yourself a problem, my friend.
What two groups have we, you said we're closest?
The average American hasn't the slightest grasp of what another dimension is, and the fact that they're intelligences, they come and go from other dimensions. You know, Kevin, I'll tell you bluntly, my feeling has been for years that if it were a simple matter of these guys coming from other planets, dropping in from time to time, visiting, it would have been out long time ago. But it's not that simple. It's not just other planets. We're talking about intelligences from other star systems. We're talking about intelligences we've encountered that literally are from other galaxies. And then you lay it on to the people that we're getting communication with and a relationship with intelligences from other dimensions. Good God, my friend, that is simply more than, I guess, you know, what is it they call it, Joe Sixpack out there, cannot deal with.
Now, which two groups? You mentioned there are two groups that we have close relationship with. Who are they?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me? Isn't this interesting, folks? We can hear Robert Dean, but he can't hear me. Okay, Robert, this is not rare. What we're going to... Can you hear me at all, Robert? Okay. What we're going to do is reestablish contact with them. This is not rare. You notice where this took place in the conversation? You notice? Thank you for those of you who have disrupted or tried to disrupt the show. Thank you for that. You've tried to disrupt the telephones, and you succeeded in that. But you also succeeded in something else. You succeeded in putting a great big yellow highlight above everything Robert Dean just said, and I want to thank you for that. When we talk about these other world intelligences, you know what? These guys that do this sort of interruption of our phones need to take some lessons from real intelligence out there. Robert, this is not rare. It happens to us rather frequently when a guest starts talking about something that's a little bit sensitive to somebody.
Kevin, I'm not surprised. I have this tendency to lay it out pretty bluntly, and I'm telling you some stuff that is pretty sensitive. And it's legitimate material, and I'm not surprised that we got cut off.
Yeah, you know, we could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. And
I see.
Yeah. What two groups? You mentioned there are two groups that we have close relationships with. What two groups are they?
Well, the ones that met Ike in 54 at Morrock, which is, I think, now Edwards, we found out 10 or 12 years after that, that these were the very guys who apparently had genetically had a hand in engineering the human species over 100,000 years ago. Now, the common term, I guess, that's used, the generic term, is the Anunnaki. And that's an ancient Sumerian term that refers to the ones that came from the planet Nibiru. And apparently the guys that met Ike in 54 at Morrock were the very same ones that genetically re-engineered us about 100,000 years ago. And they decided that the time had come that we should have some pretty open kind of relationships. The other group that apparently we have been dealing with at least since 1960, and I think that Kennedy was involved in that one, we're a group of tall, blonde guys that very fair, blonde hair, and, 6.5 feet, 7 feet tall, that supposedly come from a star system known as the Pleiades. And those are the ones that I think met Kennedy. And the story that I've heard from reputable sources is that Kennedy really was bumped off because he wanted to go public on the whole thing. He got bumped off for about three different reasons, Kevin, and, but one of them apparently was he wanted to bring the so-called extraterrestrial issue out for the American people. And he felt it was essential that they know and understand what was going on. And then the other big thing, that the big mistake he made, he wanted to close down the CIA, and then he wanted to get rid of the Federal Reserve. He wanted to put our money back into our treasury and abolish the Federal Reserve, which happens to be a private corporation.
That's true.
Which literally engineered this recent debacle we've had with our banking system. But anyhow, this is part of the cover-up. This is part of the big lie.
But how long do you think they can keep the lid on this?
Two different groups, Kevin. The ones from Nibiru and the ones from the Pleiades. And I've talked to retired government scientists who've told me bluntly and honestly that they not only knew about it, but they have actually worked alongside of some of these guys for a number of years. And that's kind of a bit of a tale there in itself.
How long do you think these keepers of the secrets think they can keep the lid on this? Do you think they believe they can keep the lid on this forever?
No, I don't think so, Kevin. I think even in the biggest liars of all, I think realize that this cannot go on forever. There are too many people who are coming out and speaking bluntly. You know, we've had astronauts like Ed Mitchell, who pretty bluntly laid it out. And I think that Gordon Cooper tried to tell the whole story before he died. I spoke to him a couple of times before he died. And Gordon Cooper said, it'll come out eventually. It's got to come out. The story's too damn big. And you've got a lot of astronauts, and then you've got a lot of retired admirals and generals. And you got a lot of retired old coots like me, you know, retired command sergeant majors with a big mouth, who are telling what I've seen and what I've learned, and it'll come out eventually. But
well,
guys are sitting on top of a time bomb, and they're scared to death that when it really comes out, that they may have a price to pay for all the lies they've told.
And well,
all the careers that have been ruined over the
yes.
years, Kevin.
Well, those individuals, in my opinion, even though some of them are wearing uniforms of the armed services, those people are not patriotic nor friends of this country. And, you know, if they have a price to pay, well, they just have a price to pay. Welcome to the world.
Well, it used to be said that when the story was told, that heads would roll.
We have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean. Robert, when we went away for break, we were talking about the price that some of these people may have to pay. You know, I personally, it's just the cop in me, but my personal feeling, and it is a feeling, is that there should be no amnesty for these people, and they should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, going all the way to their corporate masters. And however high up this goes, they all ought to go to prison because they've lied to the public, they've ruined careers, and there's pretty good evidence they've even ended lives over this. They've driven some people to suicide over this. They are criminals of the first order and enemies of freedom and the Constitution. However, that's my feeling. My mind tells me that in order to get full disclosure, we're probably going to have to offer amnesty to these people. And in order to get back on track, I would be willing to go with the amnesty thing. How do you feel about that?
Well, Kevin, essentially I agree with you on most of the points you just made. But, you know, I guess I'm an old coot. I have a tendency to believe that you have to pay the piper.
Mm-hmm.
And there's got to be a price for all of these lives and all of these lives that have been ruined over the years. And I don't know if it'll take amnesty to bring it out. Maybe that's okay. I'll go along with it. But I've seen so much over the years from the inside, and I have no patience with these people because they have literally spit on our Constitution. I mean, it's like the Constitution meant nothing to them. The idea that the American people themselves had rights, you know, the people who this country was designed for, they have no regard for the average American worker out there. They really couldn't care less about whether what they refer to as the great unwashed. Yeah, they look down on the average guy out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I have, it's hard for me to come up with a little bit of sympathy for these guys. But if it'll get the whole truth out, maybe it's necessary.
Well, I agree with what you're saying. It's the average guy out there that makes everything happen.
Turn 81 here in March.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's going to be for my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids to make the decisions. But I'm an old coot. I believe you have to pay for what you've done.
Well, you know, if it goes that way, I fully support that. And I have no problem with that at all.
I don't know whether it's my phone or whether it's yours, but I can't pick you up anymore. So I'm going to close this little thing down.
All right. And folks, see what he's talking about? That these people need to pay the piper. These people need to have to pay the price. And all of a sudden, the phone troubles again. Highlight that in yellow. Understand that anti-freedom people don't want to hear that. Too late. They already heard it. And people in 95 countries minimum have heard it. All right, we'll see if we can get Bob back with us here. And it just goes this way sometimes.
Happened again, huh?
Yeah, it happens frequently. When you start talking about something that makes the so-called powers that be nervous, that will happen. It happens frequently on this show, and I count it as a badge of honor that we're making them nervous.
Well, it should let your listeners, Kevin, realize just how much in control those bastards are. Literally, they control the airways, they control television, they control everything. And they've gotten pretty damned arrogant about it over the years.
Yes, they have. All right, now look, let me ask you this, because you worked for FEMA for, I think you said, 15 years. We're hearing lots and lots and lots of very disturbing things about FEMA these days. We're hearing about concentration camps. Do you know anything about that? Can you tell us anything about that? Or is that just internet hype, or is that for real?
Well, they were originally constructed, Kevin, to be relocation facilities. In the case of natural disasters or a thermonuclear war, these facilities that were built all over the country were originally designed as relocation facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And the vast, enormous underground facilities that were built, and I'm talking about billions, if not trillions, of dollars of expenditures that went into these enormous underground facilities. Those were originally built for what we called continuity of government, the old COG program.
Mm-hmm.
That was a Cold War plan, but I was helped build and I helped work that thing out. And it was, you know, the threat of the Cold War with thermonuclear war. We had to plan ahead, so to speak, so we could continue to have an operating government in the event of a Soviet strike. But the underground facilities do exist, and I've been into a number of them. I've been into several over the years. And the facilities on the surface, the so-called relocation camps, were primarily designed that if you had to evacuate cities, if a city was struck by a nuclear weapon, you had to have a place to put the survivors and look after them and take care of them. Now, that was the original intent. Now, I haven't been involved with FEMA now for a number of years, Kevin, so I don't know what the latest plans are, but I heard the rumors, just as you have.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that originally they were built as relocation facilities to accommodate survivors from a nuclear war or a natural disaster. You know, like what happened in New Orleans. You have a place to put people where you could give them beds and food and a roof over their heads. Well, that was the original plan. What they may have decided to do with those facilities over the years, I have no idea, because I've been out of FEMA now for some years.
Do you think that the rumors that you and I are talking about here, do you think there's any possibility that those are reality?
Oh, there's no question about them. They're reality. There's a couple here in Arizona.
No, I'm talking about the rumor that these are going to be used as concentration camps to round up dissidents.
Yeah, I heard that rumor, but I don't put a lot of stock in it. But, you know, there are so damn many rumors, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that really ticks me off is this BS that's been going on. I'm trying to watch my language tonight, you know. this garbage that's going on about 2012.
Mm-hmm.
I really get ticked off about that. You know, they're scaring the pants off of people, and frightening people is a control mechanism. You scare the hell out of people, and you get them to a point where they say, oh, good God, save me, I'll do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're doing that. They're trying to scare the hell out of people, and I don't buy into this doomsday crap.
Well, you know, I don't either.
That at all.
I think
offends me. You know, I'm at that age, I have no patience anymore, damn it.
I think there could be some...
They manipulate and lie and twist and, oh God, there's no limit to what they'll do.
I think there could be some rocky roads ahead for us. But, you know, earthquakes and things like that, but...
I don't know whether you can hear me, but I can't hear you anymore, old friend, so...
Okay, well, see, he's talking about...
Give me a call.
He's talking about the use of fear to scare people, the use of tactics to engender fear in people, so that they will turn to the government and say, save me. All right, so apparently he must have hit the nail on the head because they interrupted the phones again. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have our guest back online. We will continue. We will try to continue. But as he and I were talking during the break, you know, this happens. Every time a guest is hitting nails right on the head, this happens. And so just notice where it happens and what the guest is talking about when it happens, because that's a big yellow highlight. That guest just said something somebody didn't like. Oh, well. All right, we're going to open the phone lines in a moment and take some calls from our audience. But let me ask you this. We're also hearing, Bob, that there are technologies that we have and that we're already using where basically it's like a Star Trek transporter, teleporter, where they can go from here to Mars in a matter of split seconds. Do you know anything about that?
Listen, we're really going to get cut off now, I'm afraid.
That's okay. We'll redial.
Yeah, I have a little bit of insight on a number of those things. Where do I begin, for God's sake? Before he died, Ben Rich said, you know, you're familiar with who Ben Rich
was,
I'm sure.
Yeah, Skunk Works, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he was one of the top engineers at Lockheed Martin for many, many years.
Yeah.
And he ran the Skunk Works, which is probably their top of their research and development program. said before he died, he said, we've been given a contract to take E.T. home. And that really blew a few people out. A contract to take E.T. home. And then he said to another group, he says, you know, we have the technology now to take E.T. home. We've had it for years. And that blew a few people's minds. And then I had a personal conversation some years ago with a retired Lockheed Martin top engineer, research development engineer, that told me flatly, he said, you know, we've had hyperluminal flight for 30 years. And I said, what do you mean, hyperluminal? He says, faster than light. We've had it for well over 30 years. We had it 10 years before I retired. And he says, I retired from the program 20 years ago, for God's sake. So there is a black area of technology that is probably 100 years beyond the technology that is understood and taught at the universities. And that's, again, part of the scandal, Kevin, that we have free energy, we have zero-point energy, we have anti-gravity, and it's being utilized by a select few, a group that considers themselves elite. And they don't give a damn whether the average person out there can benefit from it or not, because they're going to sit on top of it and utilize it and keep the lid down as long as they can. So we have technology that is just beyond belief. And I think Rich himself said before he died, he said, you know, you see stuff on Star Trek, he says, we're way ahead of that. And I think I believe he knew what he was talking about.
Oh, I think if anybody knew what he was talking about, if anybody on the planet would know those things, Ben Rich would know those things. All right, I'm going to open up the telephone lines for our audience. The main telephone number is 623-444-5889. If you need to call me on the toll-free line, it is 888-223-4599. Both of those numbers will work in the United States and Canada. The number to call if you're outside of the USA and outside of Canada, but you want to call us, would be 1-623-444-5889. Works anywhere in the world and on Nibiru. Let's go to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
Well, it's a great pleasure to be speaking to you, Mr. Robert Dean. I've always listened to you talk and I've always wanted to ask you a question.
Thank you, Ryan. It's nice to hear you.
Yeah. There's a photograph that's been circulating around the internet, and it's been on the cover of Robert Collins' book, and it's been in a few other places of a gray alien that apparently there's a story behind it that you were in Mexico and somebody from a Mexican policeman approached you, and if you don't mind talking about that, can you explain the story behind that?
Ryan, I'd be glad to. Yeah, I was honored to be an invited guest to speak at a big conference down in Mexico City a number of years ago. The sponsor was a lady, a delightful lady by the name of Zita Rodriguez, and also a co-sponsor was Jaime Maussan, which you're probably familiar with. Jaime's done a lot of work in Mexico. He runs the Mexican 60 Minutes program. But I was speaking in Mexico City, and it was a delightful opportunity, and I was approached by an active member of the Mexican Federales. And in Mexico, they have what's known as a federal police. We don't have an equivalent here in this country, at least yet. I think our closest is the FBI. But this major from the Federales come up to me and shook my hand and in absolutely perfect English, he says, you know, I've been following what you've been doing for a number of years. And he says, I have a legitimate photograph that we took here 3 or 4 years ago of a young alien that we were interrogating. And he handed me the picture. And that picture is the one that I have I put out there. I don't know where it got published, but I think that's the one we're talking about. That was taken by a Mexican Federale officer and was given to me personally in Mexico City, at least 10 years ago. And I consider it a legitimate picture because I checked a number of other sources, and it looked like one of the more accurate pictures that I've seen.
All right, Ryan, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 or toll-free at 888-223-4599. Now, if you happen to live outside the USA and you live outside of Canada and you don't want to make an international long-distance call, you can send me a flash message by going to my website, scroll down, click on the link that says flash message, and send me your comments or your question, and we will deal with them here on the air. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yes, hello. It's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Bob Dean. Boy, this is a pleasure to be speaking with you. You've been an inspiration for me for quite a while.
Well, thank you, Kevin. That's nice to hear.
Yeah, I remember... you were having an interview with Kerry Cassidy back in 2008, and that's when I really got turned on to Robert Dean, and I really started listening to what you had to say on a lot of different issues. And I wanted to know, the Anunnaki, are they responsible for, in your opinion, for many of the UFOs that we've been seeing over the course of the last few decades?
Well, as I mentioned earlier... Kevin, is it? Yeah, Kevin, I think I mentioned earlier, the Anunnaki is a generic term that that I use because we've gotten a whole bunch of different guys coming and going from different places. But the Anunnaki is an old Sumerian term that if you've ever read any Zechariah Sitchin's work, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I've read all
the Anunnaki were apparently an intelligent, advanced extraterrestrial species from another planet in our solar system. And they apparently came here a couple hundred thousand years ago and genetically re-engineered us into Homo sapiens. And I think that they're in our midst. And as I said earlier, I think that I've been told that that was the very group that met Ike in Moorock in 1954. And they are an advanced species, and apparently when they first showed up here a long, long time ago, they genetically re-engineered the human species from a lower form into a higher form, and primarily for workers. They needed workers to run the gold mines here, and that's how old human race got the kickoff there. We had evolved, apparently, up to that point, but we weren't quite smart enough and evolved enough to really be of any value to them, so they genetically engineered us to be workers. And for a long, long time, that's exactly what we were. Workers.
Indeed, I've read every Zechariah Sitchin book, and one book I'm reading right now is a book that you called Dynamite in that same interview, Richard C. Hoagland's A Dark Mission by Richard Hoagland and Michael Barra. And I've been quoting that book to everybody. I've been showing that book to everybody, and I've been quoting you a lot too to a lot of people. And I've been opening up a lot of eyes to what's really been going on with NASA and also this push to what some people are calling this New World Order, I guess you could say, and, you know, trying to...
Well, I take my hat off to you because it's guys like you that still give me hope. I mean, you're doing your homework and you're doing your research. And if I could get, you know, most of the people in this country to do what you're doing, I would feel a little better. But I commend you. And in just in passing, yeah, Hoagland's book with Mike Barra, I know Mike, and I've known Richard for years. But they've even got out a second volume now. They got an updated volume that's got about 50 or 60 additional pages. And they literally blow the whistle on NASA, and it's long overdue. You heard the old joke about NASA means never a straight answer. Well, NASA has been lying through its teeth for so damn many years. But I commend you. I commend your research, and keep it up, young man.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call. You folks that are watching on KSS-TV noticed that I was very busy during that call. It may be interesting, Bob, for you to know that, in fact, our feed to our Los Angeles affiliate has been cut. Our feed to Erie, Pennsylvania has been cut. And I was very busily sending them a reroute, a workaround. So they'll be back up and running here in a few seconds. Interesting. You're hitting some things that these folks don't want other folks to know.
Kevin, I'm touching a couple of live wires tonight. I'm getting up there, you know, young man, and as I said, I'm not going to be around that much longer. And if I can, you know, drop a few of these in people's ear before I go, it will be well worth the effort. And as I said, that call from that young man in Canada, Kevin, you know, that's gratifying to me to know that there are people out there like that that are paying attention. But I'm not surprised we've been cut off here and there. I'm assuming that you're recording this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So maybe the word will get out eventually anyhow.
Oh, the word is spreading like wildfire as you and I speak. The audience is, with every time they cut us off, our audience numbers go up. And so, guys, hey, I appreciate it. You're working against your own best interest, but thanks. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Dominic from Toronto, Canada calling.
Hi, Dominic.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Good.
Like always, Mr. Dean, I also appreciate your work. I have you on several DVDs up here. It's obvious that NASA is covering up the alien agenda and the contact. It's also obvious they're covering up pictures on the Mars and also on the Moon and so forth. My question is should we keep applauding this dog and pony show when they send up a shuttle up to the space station, or do, lack of a better word, treat it with the respect it had to give us and just turn it off? What do you guys think?
Good question.
You've touched another live wire there. I have not a lot of respect for NASA as an agency or as an organization, but I have a tremendous amount of respect for a lot of NASA scientists and a lot of the people who work over there. I've had personal experience with a number of retired NASA engineers and scientists, people that I, over the years, came to respect. One of them was a retired NASA scientist by the name of Norman Berggren. And if Kevin was referring earlier to some of the photographs I showed in Barcelona, and a couple of those photographs were released in a book Norman Berggren wrote in 1986 after he had retired from 25 years with NASA. And within those photographs that I showed over in Barcelona were a couple of pictures that Berggren included in his book in 1986 that were taken by the Voyager mission to Saturn in 1980. And when Voyager went out there in 1980, they took hundreds and hundreds of pictures of anomalous objects in the rings of Saturn. And a couple of those photographs I showed in my presentation, and I'll show them in every chance I get. I think Norman has gone home now. I've lost touch with him. He was a brilliant man. He delightful person. And he published this book in Scotland, for God's sake, in 1986, because he couldn't get an American publisher to even touch it with a 10-foot pole. And he included in his book, called The Ringmakers of Saturn, some of these photographs. And I show a couple of them every chance I get. And there are absolutely gigantic artificial objects in the rings of Saturn. There's one object that I show, a picture of this thing, it's larger than our moon. It's self-luminous, that moves around under intelligent control. And then there's another picture that I show repeatedly of an object that is literally 2,000 miles long in the rings of Saturn. That's artificial. A constructed object of some kind, obviously under intelligent control. And I refer people to those pictures. I guess they're available now on the web. But Norman Berggren was a NASA scientist who had courage and integrity. And bless his heart, I take my hat off to him. I think I think he may have gone home because I lost touch with him. But his book was published in 86. He had to go to Scotland to get it published.
And that's a shame, but it's a reality.
Are dynamite, you see. Mm-hmm. They really are dynamite, and people have got to look at those and say, hey, what the hell does this really mean?
Let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming, Kevin.
Hi, Brent.
Bob, I want to know something. I've been, I spent most of my life off and on kind of passively researching the spiritual regularities of life, if you will. I won't call it religion or anything like that, just spiritual regularities. And it doesn't really matter if we give them an amnesty or not, they're going to have to pay.
Ah, you're talking about the secret keepers. So even if we don't give them amnesty, karma's going to kick them in the butt anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think so.
That's my opinion.
Well, it's encouraging to me to talk to someone like you, because I have held a view from the very beginning that the really important issue about this is not them and where they're from. It's really not basically us and how we got to be here. The issue, in my view, is essentially a spiritual matter. And it's what we are essentially as an immortal being that incarnates on this planet, that we are, in a sense, divinity itself. And I've always taken that approach, and it has nothing to do with religion, but it's essentially a spiritual matter, and I think that when this all comes out eventually, that's going to be very clear. And thank you for your comments on that.
All right, Brent, thanks for the call. I have a flash message here that I want to get to before we get to our next break. This one is from Will in the UK. And it says, David Wilcock has stated, according to his sources, that TV airtime in the U.S. has already been bought and scheduled for a full exopolitic disclosure before the end of this year. Are you aware, you, Bob, are you aware, through your connections, of a change of consensus on revealing any significant thing anytime soon?
Well, I'm aware of David's remarks, and I know David. I'm not a good friend of him. I've heard him speak, and I am well aware of where he's coming from. But I'm sorry, I cannot go along with that, because information that I've received fairly recently is that they're not about to release any of this information anytime soon. That young Obama has so damn much on his plate as it is that the so-called extraterrestrial matter would be like opening Pandora's box, and I say that literally. If they were to make an announcement and try to release some information, they'd be lifting the lid on Pandora's box, and that I don't think they're prepared for that. I don't think they're ready for that at the moment. I don't think they even want to get close to that. But it's going to come out, and eventually. But I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. And as I've said several times when I make presentations publicly, that there is a form of disclosure taking place. Ed Mitchell agrees with me on that. The fact that there is a form of disclosure underway right now, Kevin, that's based upon what we call subliminal education.
Mm-hmm.
And movies and television and articles and magazines and little bits and pieces here and there, and it's all kind of gentle and subtle. And you know, you point out, you can point with some idea about young Steven Spielberg and some of the movies he's made, and that famous television series that he put together called Taken.
Mm-hmm.
These are all little parts of this subliminal education program, and that's the way disclosure is taking place at the moment. And the masses are not prepared for the big story yet, because the big story, Kevin, is too damn big.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back, and we'll take more of your calls right after this.
Maybe I'm just lost at la vie. Will I find my way?
Some of the music used here on The Kevin Smith Show comes from the great independent artists at GarageBand.com. Go to GarageBand.com and check out the fabulous selection they have of great independent music by great independent artists. GarageBand.com. Check it out. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest, Bob Dean. The telephone lines are open. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Toll free, 888-223-4599. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? I see. You are not there. Okay, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, I had a quick question for Mr. Dean.
Mm-hmm.
My question, it's kind of a two-parter, and it's pretty short. It's is it possible that there are people being held captive or working with them on like humans on other planets? Are there like humans that are just distantly far away working on secret projects or being held captive, maybe even as pets or to be worked on? And the second part is, if the Sumerians were visiting aliens that were coming here, and those aliens were able to get here and had such high technology, wouldn't they be able to just make the gold themselves, like, easily? And if not, what do they need all the gold for? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, those are a couple of dynamite questions there. I don't even know where to begin.
What about people being held captive on other planets?
People being held captive.
Mm-hmm.
The information I have that I consider to be reputable and reliable from people and sources that I respect is that we do have humans going and working on a couple of other planets with them, but they're not prisoners. They're not captives. That they went voluntarily, and we've got a number of them working here with us in some of our government laboratories. And that is a relationship that apparently was established back as early as 1954. And initially, when the Anunnaki re-engineered us genetically a couple hundred thousand years ago, they did it to mine gold because the Anunnaki apparently needed gold to reinforce a protective atmosphere around their planet. Back centuries and centuries ago, they seem to have been having the same problems that we're having now with our atmosphere and the hole in our ozone layer and all of that. And the Anunnaki apparently learned, you know, 200,000 or 300,000 years ago that they could reinforce their atmosphere, seal their ozone layer, and help protect their atmosphere, because they're on an enormous long orbit. Apparently, from the information I've seen, and Sitchin speaks about it, that their orbit is about 3,600 years. So they make a long trip out and only come back inside the system near the sun every 3,600 years. So they need a protection around their atmosphere, and apparently that's what they intended to do initially, and that's what they needed the gold for, because they you know, grind it up into particulates and place it out there in space, it apparently will help close off the holes in their ozone layer. And apparently they went through that themselves back then.
All right, let's go back to the phone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Bob, I met you in Albuquerque, New Mexico at a MUFON convention back in the early 90s.
You go back a few years. Hello, Mike.
How are you tonight?
Well, all things considered, I'm doing fairly well. Thank you.
It's really a pleasure to speak with you again. Yeah, we hung out there in that lounge there at the downstairs, if you know what I mean. And I've been around this thing a long time, and I'm have a lot of interest in the Anunnaki as well. And I know that Sitchin in his last book said that the last time that they were in the vicinity of the Earth was like 650 B.C., so a lot of people are looking for them now in 2012, and unless they came from one of their bases close in, like the Moon or Mars or possibly even Saturn or somewhere in our solar system, I don't think we have to worry about Nibiru coming by. But, yeah, and it's like you've been saying, disclosure is not going to be given by this administration, not anytime soon, if at all. And if a person knows, they know. There is no doubt. You know if you know.
Well, Mike, I commend your research, and I think I agree with your conclusions. I think the time has not come for a full disclosure. We're getting a little bit at a time, you know, bits and pieces here. We're getting what I said is subliminal education. But, Mike, how do you tell the masses of people on this planet that every major religion on this planet was initiated and orchestrated by advanced extraterrestrial intelligence? Man, that's a piece of dynamite you just don't throw out there for the kids to play with.
Yeah, you're right. Mike, thanks for the call. Let's go to a flash message from the United Kingdom. Craig writes, great show as always, Kevin. Could you ask Bob if he knows anything regarding our ancient history, specifically the exploding planet theory? And the cosmic war. You know anything about that?
Well, I've read an outstanding book on the cosmic war, title a book named by a writer by the name of Farrell, Joe Farrell. And if anybody gets a chance to get a hold of Joe Farrell's book, it is absolute dynamite. And Farrell's got a theory there that there was indeed a cosmic war a hell of a long time ago, and we're still kind of dealing with the ramifications of that event. So I agree, Joseph Farrell's book, The Cosmic War, is well worth reading, and a lot of material there.
All right, let's go back to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, from where are you calling?
Oh, good evening. This is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
Mr. Green, it's an absolute honor to talk to you, sir, and I just really didn't really have a question. I had a quick statement. When I was 12, I picked up a copy at a garage sale of Eric von Daniken's Chariots of the Gods, and I really haven't turned back since. I'm 38 now. But as a blue-collar dad and one that doesn't want his family kept in the dark, I have an 11-year-old daughter. I appreciate your voice out there and Kevin's voice out there and being able to keep people sane to the matter, because sometimes you think, am I really just kind of crazy? Is any of this stuff really make sense? Do I need to just kind of get back into the machine and be a sheeple like everybody else? So it's nice to hear intelligent, logical people of background and status to be able to tell us, yes, you know, this is true. You are seeing what you're seeing. And after watching, like, the Phoenix Lights and the Stevensville case and things like that in my time that have kind of come and gone, and thinking, wow, how could they have not just kept talking about this? How did it just kind of get brushed under the carpet? It's good to know that there's good people out there, and I definitely appreciate you guys.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Chris.
Well, listen, words from young people like you mean a hell of a lot to me. Encouraging words are one of the reasons why I still do what I'm doing. Thank you for your comments. I deeply appreciate it.
All right, a flash message from Australia. Andrew writes, recently a video was released showing a UFO following a fleet of South American naval ships and was released by that country's government. Does this happen to U.S. naval ships, and have you seen any evidence from the U.S. Navy regarding similar sightings?
Oh, it's going on all the time. There apparently is a program of these guys, and I refer to them as the others. As I said, I don't particularly like the term alien or ETs. They're in our atmosphere. They're all throughout our solar system, and they are they have a program underway of their own to expose themselves, to fly over our cities, to follow our ships, to follow our space programs. You know, they followed all of the Apollo programs all the way out, all the way back. They're all over the damn place. And, yeah, I have photographs of them following some of our ships. They've been monitoring our nuclear-powered aircraft carriers for many, many years. And we've taken pictures of them, and, you know, we're well aware of their presence. But we don't get excited about it anymore because we sure as hell don't shoot at them anymore. We gave that up a long time ago. But they're all over the place. And as I said, they're making themselves as visible as they can without causing, you know, without inducing panic.
Yeah.
But there's pictures and evidence, motion picture film of them all over the damn place. And they follow our carriers, they follow our big flotillas, all over the place, and they pay a lot of attention to our war activities. Good Lord, they were flying over in the skies over Korea when I was there in 51, and they're all over Afghanistan and Iraq, so they're watching us closely.
All right, let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Bob. This is Mark from Ohio. I've got three quick questions, and I'll get off the air and let another caller in.
Okay.
I'd like to hear your comments on the Billy Meyer case. I'm very interested in that. And if you could comment on the Mars-Earth connection. And lastly, the testimony of Andrew Basago. And thank you and good night.
Okay. Thanks for the call. We only have time probably before the break for you to deal with one of those. So what do you think about Billy Myers?
Well, I've never met Billy. I had a chance back some years ago. I was speaking in Zurich, but our meeting never transpired, and I have a tremendous respect for him. And as to the legitimacy of his photographs and the stories he tells, the only way I can verify it is that apparently there's a lot of truth there, because our CIA from the very beginning has been paying attention to Billy Meyer, and they don't get involved unless there's some meat on the table, so to speak.
Okay, good enough. We've got a break coming up here in just a few seconds. So what we'll do, we'll step away for this break, Bob, and when we come back, we'll let you get into what do you think about this Mars-Earth connection, and also what do you think about what Andrew Basago is saying these days. But we'll do that when we come back after this break. Folks, you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show. As always, if you miss a single second, you miss a universe of information. Some people say, well, you know, you ought to advertise who's coming up. Look what happens even when I don't. We can barely get through because of the interruptions. We'll be back right after this. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I apologize for being just a couple of seconds late getting back. I'm still doing some workarounds for some of our affiliate stations and during the breaks and talking with Bob Dean while I do it. What a pleasure. Okay, the telephone line is open, and we still have just a few minutes left. We're on final approach here, but we have time for one or two calls. 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. So if you've been trying to get in, and I see that we've had a number of people that have tried to get in. 26 of you have tried to get in within the past few minutes, and we're not able to because we've got so many people calling us all at the same time. But the line is open now. So if you tried to get in and couldn't, here's your chance. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. You know, one of the things that happens, Bob, whenever we have someone like you on and you're hitting lots of nails right on the head, any interruption, I always comment on it, and I always point out that it highlights what you were saying. It's just like taking a yellow highlighter pen and putting it right over what you were saying when they interrupted. The thing they didn't want people to hear, they're calling attention to it. And rather than causing my audience numbers to go down, what happens, the instant there's an interruption, people rush to another link, and they start getting on their computer and communicating with other people that they talk to all the time and telling them, hey, you got to go over there. You got to listen to this. It's happening now. And so my audience numbers go up, and people are you know, they get to see that yellow highlighter above what the mysterious they didn't want people to know. So it's a good thing.
Kevin, there's something I learned here some years back. The very fact that I was unable to get away with what I've been getting away with over the last few years has indicated to me that somewhere back there, and wherever the hell back there is, I have no idea, but someone, somewhere wants me to do what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have ever gotten away with it. So we got some good friends over there in high places that want this out. And I was told legitimately, Kevin, some years back, that they, at one time they put out a termination contract on me. That I had gone from being just a nuisance to a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And that they literally were planning to terminate me in the early 90s. And then I heard another report from a guy, a good friend of mine in NSA, that they terminated that real quick. That somebody somewhere said, knock it off, leave him alone. So
well,
I say, the fact that I'm getting away with what I'm getting away with, and I'm telling some of these classified stories that are really sensitive, somebody wants this out, Kevin, or
mm-hmm.
I'll be able to get away with it.
All right, let's go back to the telephone for our last call this evening. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Phil from Kentucky.
Yes, Phil.
I just wanted to ask Bob if he could tell us some of the technologies that Star Trek had that we or didn't have and we do have.
Well, that's a good question, and, you know, I could talk probably for 30, 40 minutes about this, but there's one case that I am convinced is legitimate. A retired Air Force colonel at a conference came up to me some years back, and he said, I got to tell you this story, and you're going to think I'm crazy, but he says, it actually happened to me, and that's all there is to it. He was a lieutenant colonel at the time, and he had been given a set of orders to report to a facility outside of Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas, in Nevada. And it was wintertime, and he was told to show up in his summer uniform. And he says, why the hell do you want me to come out in a summer uniform when it's you know, it's January, February, and colder than hell. It gets cold in Nevada even then. And he said, just put on your summer uniform and pack your bag and show up here and we'll take it from there. So what happened is they put him in a car, took him over to a facility, which we found out later was a place known as S4, and he went down 24 stories underground, and he walked into this room and signed his name, and they photographed him and all that, and verified his clearance, and he says, okay, Colonel, walk through that door, and we'll see you later. He walked through that door, 24 levels, 24 stories underground, at Site 51. And the next thing, he walks into a room, and a couple of guys say, welcome to Australia, Colonel. You're in Pine Gap. Now,
wow.
He said, I tell you this story, and he says, you may think I'm out of my mind, but he says, I tell you, it happened to me. We've had this facility, we've had this technology for some time. He walked down under 24 floors, deep underground, in Site 51, a place called S4. Walked through a door, next thing he knows, he's in Pine Gap, Australia. Now that's kind of an example of the kind of technology that exists, and it's the kind of technology we have access to, and I think it's the kind of technology that we've gotten from our cousins from the stars.
All right, very quickly, because we've only got a couple of minutes now until the end of the show, we didn't address, what do you think about the story that Andrew Bisaggio is telling?
Well, honestly, Kevin, I'm not too clear what you're talking about. What story is Andrew talking about?
Well, he is an attorney. He says that he was, as a child, involved in the MK Ultra program, and that...
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about now. Well, the story I just shared with you is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
That I think he's been talking about the fact that we have the technology for that. Well, I told this story, you know, 9 or 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that Air Force colonel who retired told me it happened to him 15 years before that. So Andrew's story is probably legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how to verify that, but I'm familiar now with what you're talking about.
Yeah, he says that rather than going to Australia, he wound up at our base on Mars.
Well, I know we do have a facility on Mars, and that you know, we could do another whole interview on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to do that.
There's been an Anunnaki facility on Mars for several thousands of years, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. And are we inhabiting that facility?
Well, we are guests at that facility. How's that?
Okay, that sounds all right. Well, Bob, I want to tell you, it's been absolutely fascinating. It always is when you're with me on the show. It's just always fascinating. Never a dull moment.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate the remark.
And
my pleasure.
I hope you'll come back and be with us again, and I hope you'll do that real soon.
Well, as I said before, you invite me, I'll show up.
All right. Stay on the phone with me for a moment, if you will, as I close the show. There you have it, folks. That's a wrap for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.